T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 1120 KMOX. Heard you missed us, we're back. Yeah. This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
All right, a little Go-Go's vacation music for you.
Can't seem to get my mind off of you.
John Hancock and Michael Kelly are, I guess, not technically on vacation in Jupiter,
we're
Florida.
We're working, man.
You guys are working.
Working very, very hard. Very hard working out here.
Okay. Great accomplishments yesterday. Anything you want to share?
Well, you know, we don't like to talk, Debbie, but Michael and I may have distinguished ourselves on the billiard table last evening.
Oh. Yeah, we're going to talk all about it at the top of the hour. You'll want to hear this story. There was a... Hancock Air is a part of the story.
As in E-R-R? O-R?
A-I-R.
A-I-R. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we are on the edge of our seats.
You'll have to stick around.
Well, I will.
Yes.
All right, well, welcome to the program. Of course, you guys are in Florida in our KMOX studios there in Jupiter, and here all week in for Charlie Brennan. So are you ready to get started?
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, yes, let's go.
All right, some changes coming to Frontenac, possibly. So let's go there first. As some people may or may not know, there is a mobile home park in Frontenac, which seems incongruous to some, but it may be going away. Now, that trailer park has been in existence longer than the city of Frontenac. The Board of Aldermen has given final approval to a plan that would allow a developer to buy the 3-acre site and develop single-family homes costing more than $1 million each. Mayor Margot Martin cast the tie-breaking vote. Now, interestingly, nearby residents are opposed to the plan. They would rather have the trailer park than these homes. They're afraid of the effect on local traffic. So, John Hancock, what do you think of Frontenac getting rid of its mobile home park?
Well, you know, I mean, people, I kind of feel bad about it, you know? I mean, you got your little trailer out there, you double wide, you're living in Frontenac, you know, life is good. But, you know, progress must move forward, I suppose.
Yeah, I agree. Progress moves on. I mean, look, these types of stories happen all the time. We hear about developments that come in and things keep moving and... it's unfortunate. I'm sure that hopefully those people are going to get more than fair market value for their place, and time moves on.
Yeah, I think Michael would like to have a little mobile home park out there in the Central West End, right near new digs, Michael. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, well, wouldn't that be great?
Mm-hmm. A few little trailers across the street there.
That'd be awesome.
Very nice.
Yeah, I imagine the kids living in that trailer park will have to change school districts. There probably aren't
a lot of comparable
places to live in Frontenac. After they build million-dollar homes there. All right, they're going to need a bigger stage, so maybe we can move those carpenters to build a bigger stage for the Democrats as they try to put on their convention in Milwaukee. The DNC has unveiled the criteria for participation in the first two presidential primary debates, splitting the debates across two consecutive nights to accommodate an already sprawling field of candidates. Are we at 14 now? I kind of lose count. To qualify, a candidate must either reach 1% in 3 approved polls or raise at least $65,000 from 200 donors in 20 different states. Michael Kelly, is this a good strategy given how many candidates there will be, or is the DNC making it too early to qualify for the first round of debates?
Yeah, who knows? This is democracy, though. Lots of people think that the president has not got a chance of getting reelected, and if they can come out of this primary, they're going to do it. Seems to me the $65,000 threshold seems a little low, but in terms of hitting 1% in most of these polls, yeah, hey, this is democracy. They had 16, was it 16 or 17 Republicans?
17.
So we're not quite to the circus that was the Republican nomination, so I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing, you know, the last two cycles, you're seeing these multiple numbers of candidates, and the parties, the debates are going to have a profound effect on who becomes the nominee. And so the party's ability to kind of control that process is very important, and the Democrats are trying to exercise a little bit of control here. There's no question but that Donald Trump benefited mightily from the debate stages in the early part of the Republican process in 2016. And it's quite likely that somebody's going to pop out of this Democratic field because of their debate performances and become a real challenger. And it's likely to be somebody that's not a front runner right now.
Well, let's talk about challengers and a potential challenger to Trump, because former Florida governor and GOP presidential candidate Jeb Bush, one of that field of 17, says a Republican presidential challenger is needed in 2020. Jeb Bush thinks it would be an important opportunity to, quote, have a conversation about what it is to be a conservative. First of all, I think William Weld is like, hi, I did announce that I'm going to challenge Trump. But what do you think the chances, John Hancock, are of a candidate coming forth to challenge President Trump? Because a lot of Republicans seem to be sticking very closely with their man.
Well, Bill Weld is, he was a very liberal Republican governor of Massachusetts. He ran as a Libertarian in 2016. I think he was on the ticket for the Libertarians. So he's not the answer. Look, Donald Trump's numbers in the Republican Party right now are north of 90%. And so you may want to have, Jeb Bush may want to have a conversation, but the cold hard reality is that Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee for president in 2020. And I just don't know that there's a whole lot of value in somebody expending an awful lot of time and effort and money to try and upend that, because I just don't see it happening.
I sure hope that the Republicans don't have somebody run against Donald Trump. I think this is the most beatable incumbent president since, Jimmy Carter. And I think a discussion inside the Republican Party about what conservatism is probably not a bad thing for that party. But I like that they're all in for Trump. And I am confident that no matter who comes out of this field of 14 Democrats and growing is going to beat the president in 2020.
All right. CNN just had a poll up that said Republicans are more enthusiastic about the upcoming presidential race than Democrats. I'm going to have to dig into that and see exactly what that means. And maybe we'll have an answer when we return for round two of OT. We'll get traffic and weather together. It's 8:39.
Hey, Blues fans, Joey Vitale here, and we have some Thursday night hockey for you as the St. Louis Blues play host to Dylan Larkin and the Detroit Red Wings. Catch all the action with the pregame show at 6:30 and the face-off at 7 right here on KMOX.
Let's go Blues!
It's 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, joined from our Florida KMOX studios by John Hancock and Michael Kelly.
Hey
all right, I did look up that poll, and before we move on to other topics, a new CNN poll shows that Republican voters are more enthusiastic than Democrats about voting in the 2020 presidential election. 57% of self-identified Republicans report being extremely enthusiastic about voting in the 2020 election, while 46% of Democrats and 26% of independents feel that way. 78% of Republicans say they're extremely or very enthusiastic. Do you suppose, guys, that's because they Republicans have a candidate and the Democrats are still hedging their bets here?
Yeah, that and, you know, the president's taking an onslaught from the media, mainly self-inflicted. And so whenever your guy is taking a beating, you want to rally around him. And so it would make sense that Republicans are fired up to defend the president. This is going to be flipped on its head by the time we get to November of 2020, because Democrats and independents, and I would say some of those never Trumpers who maybe held their nose against Hillary Clinton, are going to be motivated to go out and get rid of this president who's done so much damage to our country.
You know, I actually think it's very unusual that the party that's out of power has a lower level of enthusiasm for the election. That's a good sign for Republicans. And, you know, Donald Trump is going to need to replicate what was really an inside straight in 2016, winning Pennsylvania and Michigan, Wisconsin. And he's going to need that enthusiasm to pull some of those states, those close marginal states, across the finish line in order to win. And he's probably going to need the Democrats to nominate somebody that's outside of the mainstream. And you know, I think there's a better than not chance that they are going to nominate somebody that's beyond the pale and perhaps unelectable, and that's good news for my team.
All right, how about this one? We have another interesting lawsuit of the day to discuss. A Kentucky high school senior is suing the local health department after it banned him and other unvaccinated students from attending school. Jerome Kunkel is claiming religious discrimination, saying his refusal to be vaccinated for chickenpox is due to his Christian faith. His father claims that the chickenpox vaccine was made from aborted fetuses, and therefore he can't take it. Now, who should we start with? John Hancock, is refusing to allow a student who hasn't been vaccinated into school religious discrimination?
I don't think so. There's so much bad information out there about vaccinations. And, you know, we have the ability. We've defeated diseases like polio and through vaccinations. And they've been just a tremendous blessing to the health and welfare of society. And, I guess a school ought to have that authority if people should vaccinate their kids, period.
Yeah, I'm with you 1,000% on this, John. And I'm hopeful that eventually some type of lawsuit like this is going to trickle up to the Supreme Court and throw out this religious nonsense in terms of putting the rest of our health in jeopardy. I mean, this is ridiculous what's going on. And so many people are put in jeopardy when these folks don't do this. And now people don't even want to take the chickenpox vaccine. Now, I would imagine everybody that's talking here has had the chickenpox in their lives. And you know what that ultimately means?
Shingles.
That means you're going to get shingles.
That's exactly
and
right.
Shingles is apparently
you
the
might
most
get shingles.
Well,
please don't tell me I'm
enough.
Getting it. Does that mean we all get it? It's
a dormant virus inside of us refires
up. How old were you, Debbie, when you got the chicken pox?
Oh, like kindergarten, maybe?
I was a senior in high school.
Ooh, stop
that
it.
That had to be miserable.
It was horrible.
Was in the second
Chris Myhill
grade.
Says he was 27.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, Myhill.
A grown man with the chicken pox. That
but
is nasty.
I have to tell you guys, I am petrified a few things in my life, but shingles has got me scared to death. I go to the doctor every time I go to the doctor. I say, can I get the shingles vaccine? And they're like, no, you're not old enough.
Right.
And I'm like, well, if we have a vaccine, why can't I take it?
Remember when Tony LaRusso
had in his
shingles.
Eye.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh, that was some tough stuff.
Okay. Well, now that we've grossed
everyone
out. My
mother said to me that it's a pain worse than childbirth.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow, that's a delightful high note.
Well,
there,
maybe you guys can address shingles on your show today or tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, we're all in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how about plastics? In what could amount to good news for oceanic life, but maybe bad news for the plastics industry, Hawaiian lawmakers are considering a statewide ban on plastic products at restaurants. If this bill is approved, Hawaii would become the first state to completely remove all disposable plastic products from restaurants. Now, states like California and Seattle have passed similar laws, but they allow restaurants to give out the plastic products when customers request them. Michael Kelly, do you see any end to the plastic ban trend, with the exception of Missouri, where we go in the opposite direction?
Yeah, right. No, I hope not. I hope this continues. Look, in life and in a society, as we know better, we do better. And we used to allow chemicals to be poured into the rivers. Then we started to realize the consequences that take place thereof. And we've dealt with it. We are now learning on a daily basis what plastic is doing to wildlife and what it's ultimately doing to our food supply, which ultimately ends up in the bodies of every human being out here who consumes food. This is a good movement. When we know better, we should do better. And this plastic thing is a problem. Now, John's going to sit here and say, oh, they're infringing on my rights and blah, blah, blah. But it's, come on. Were we infringing on your rights when we restricted dumping chemicals into the river? No, this is having the same type of effect.
It's not. And, plastics have revolutionized living. It's part of the convenience of the society we have. Now, if people want to voluntarily limit their plastic consumption and the use of plastic products, it's good for them. But for the government to come in and tell you can't.
But the government's done this in the past, John. The government forces us to wear seatbelts. They fixed emission regulations and regulated the amount of carbon that can come out of a car. When we know better, we do better. Why wouldn't we do this? Yesterday, you used a paper straw. You had no problem with it.
I took it out. And, it's the bottom line is, Let's be free. Let's just have a little freedom out there. Freedom is a good thing to pursue.
says the tortoise with a straw jammed up his nose.
He wants to get in though your reproductive rights. That freedom does not mean anything for women, apparently.
Oh. All right, it's 8:49. We need to take another break, and when we return, it's round three of OT on the Voice of St. Louis.
This is Overtime.
Don't you understand? We can't stop ourselves.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
All right, this is John Hancock's theme song, I believe. Is this Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy? All right.
Yeah.
It's your theme song, John. All right, yeah. We know you're wearing those Speedos down there in Jupiter.
Oh, God.
Send us pictures, Michael.
Yeah. No, are you kidding?
No pictures.
All right, let's talk about Burger King, home of the Whopper. I don't know if there's near you. But Burger King now wants to compete with McDonald's and Starbucks. Of course, they all want to get to our coffee addictions. And Burger King is now offering a subscription service where you can get a small coffee every day for $5 a month, which is just under 17 cents per cup. So if you were going to stop by every day, it would probably make sense. Michael Kelly, would you get a subscription, a monthly subscription for coffee at Burger King?
It's a good idea. No, I wouldn't do it. I don't go to Burger King. I'm not into fast food like that. And I'm not a big fan of Burger King and the couple of times I've had fast food. But I think it's a good idea, and I'm sure there's a market for it.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're studying marketing, you know that if you're going to sell coffee, you've got to create a new language. So you go to these people at Starbucks, you know, they get up there and they got the venti blah, blah, blah with a squirt of this and that and the other. I mean, it's unbelievable how detailed. I think selling small cups of coffee at Burger King for $5 a month, I don't think it's going to take off, but that's just my humble opinion.
You know, I often feel really stupid when I go to Starbucks because I don't have coffee shop hours, you know? So I walk in and everybody's all fancy and with their fancy orders, and I'm like, can I just have like a large
cup of coffee? I mean, frappuccino.
And
what
then they're like,
is
that grande or venti? Well, I don't know, that one.
Let's be honest. Whenever I go to Starbucks and there's usually a group of young ladies that are finishing from their yoga and they've got their yoga pants on and stuff, I immediately turn around and walk out because they're going to be getting the iced latte with coconut milk and a splash of this and a splash of that, and it's going to be 28 minutes and
chai
I'm out
tea.
Of there.
They got the chai, they got the tea, they got all that kind of stuff. And what is chai tea, by the way?
I don't know.
You know what that is?
Chai. I think it's kind of like a coffee bean, but it's tea.
Yeah, I'm here at 4 a.m. drinking just like whatever comes out of the coffee maker in the kitchen. So
at KMOX, man, let me tell you what, that's some tough stuff.
It is strong.
You guys are snobbish about your coffee. I don't have a problem with the KMOX coffee.
I think it's good.
They got all these different countries on there. They got the Venezuelan coffee.
Yeah, well, they don't grow coffee in America, John. Why don't we put some tariffs on it, huh? Make America great again, should we?
All right, boys. Let's do one more topic. Right. When are we out, Chris?
Yes, let's.
Okay. We've been talking a lot about the glut of jobs that employers cannot fill, which is definitely an issue. And as businesses struggle to attract and retain top talent in today's tight job market, more companies are actually relaxing their hiring criteria and apparently willing to train up, which is something companies weren't doing a few years ago. According to new data from Robert Half, the global staffing firm, 62% of St. Louis employees have been offered a position when they were underqualified. And it's kind of funny that people admit that. I wasn't qualified for this job at all. I can't believe they hired me. John Hancock, are you surprised that employers are offering jobs to unqualified workers? And that puts a lot of pressure on the person who maybe isn't qualified for the job, right?
Well, I'm broadcasting on KMOX, so I'm all for people that aren't qualified. But workforce development's a real issue in this country. It's one of the things that Governor Parson has really stressed is training people for the jobs of tomorrow. And the good news is in this economy is the jobs are there, and I think it's a very positive sign that businesses are providing the training to meet those needs, and it's how markets work. Markets always respond to this.
I'm not sure I've ever been qualified for any job that I've been hired for.
You make an excellent point, becoming qualified
as time went on. But, you know, it's kind of the MO in our country. We have a president who isn't qualified for the job he has.
But ump bump.
Had to go there, didn't you?
Always.
All right. This guy apparently is very qualified for his job. So since you guys are in Jupiter, our closing here is a baseball question. Best baseball player closing in on the richest contract in the history of North American sports. He is Mike Trout, center fielder for the Los Angeles Angels. His contract extension will be worth more than $430 million and will keep him with the team through 2030. Is any player worth $430 million, John Hancock?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you can get it, yes, he's worth it because they're paying it. So he's definitely worth it. He's, you know, Mike Trout is going to be one of the top five baseball players of history, of all time, if he stays healthy and keeps putting up the numbers that he's putting up. He is that franchise. Now, they've not been able to win with Mike Trout. They brought in Albert Pujols. They spent a lot of money on free agents over the years. They've never been able to pull it off. But, yeah, he's worth it.
Well, I guess he's worth it if somebody's willing to pay it. Hopefully he can afford a 3-bedroom house out there in California with that money.
You never know. All right, Hancock and Kelly, after news at the top.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!